rodeo, steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding, rodeo,
Reading Rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
It's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. Our great community sponsors are Russell Cleaning Service, the Shasta Athletic Club, Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, Revolve Solar, Gold Star Mortgage, Mast Roofing, Chronic Service Master, and Authority Property Management. Great community members every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear what's going on. Many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform. So tune in each Saturday at 9 to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
This is Carl on the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Ron DeBall and James Masada of Enjoy the Magazine. Enjoy the store. In fact, enjoy the empire. Let's find out what's going on in Northern California this coming month. Also, discussions on politics, Trump, Cruz, California primaries, and much more. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. There we go. Having a little volume problem here. Okay. We're all situated now. So we've had some little change in our lineup here. We've got some updates on stuff for you. But you're listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
No, you're not, because we couldn't hear you.
Hello.
There you go. And our ever effervescing engineer.
I'm Bob Martin.
Yeah. So there you go. You've got all the voices that go with the program. Okay. So we've had a little change to our East Coast programming. Here on the West Coast, you can hear us live Sundays from noon to 2. That's Pacific time because we're in far northern California. And then the show airs actually in its entirety, but they compress it to an hour and a half. So it's commercial free. It's on the East Coast on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network, WNJC 1360 AM. That's going to be Saturdays from 2:30 to 4. So all that stuff's right on the front page of the website. There's also a really terrific phone number. So if you have people who like conservative radio and they don't have computer connection, but they have, you know, maybe unlimited long distance or whatever, the number's 832-999-1199. And the programs in the Conservative Commandos network just loop. So anyway, you could find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. So let's speed on to our guests. We have two guests today. Second half, we will be chatting about the First Amendment case that the Attorney General of California lost, actually, with Mario Lopez, the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. I think that's going to be a really super interesting topic. And then here in the first hour, we are chatting with Walt Hare, who I don't even know how to, I'm just going to read right off his site because there's so much to tell you I don't want to blow it, and I'm not an expert here, so I'll let Walt be the expert. It says here on the one article, he is the man who has had two sex changes. The incredible story of Walt, who became Laura, then reversed the operation because he believes surgeons in the U.S. and Europe are too quick to operate. And I read an article in Heritage that was written by Walt. I've linked all that on the webpage for you. And I thought, oh my gosh, he just said all the stuff that so many people are either wondering about or think already, but we're not allowed to say. So that perfect chance to give give Walt a forum and let him explain it. So how are you doing this afternoon, Walt?
I'm doing great. Great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I just exhausted all our information, so it's, the rest is all you.
I can just go now. You've got all my information. I can just leave, you know.
No, we just got to the part where we don't know anything.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I don't know how you typically tell this story, but we're game for wherever you want to begin.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a hard story to tell. It's certainly relevant today.
Absolutely.
I started out like many people who suffer with gender dysphoria, struggling with gender identity at a very young age, and for me. It was at the age of 4 that this all started for me. So I was cross-dressing at the age of 4 and did so for, you know, many, many years. And one thing I do want the audience to know is that the vast majority of transgenders are not homosexual, and I fall into that category. And we heard Bruce Jenner talk about this, Caitlin, whoever. You know, he admits that, you know, he's not homosexual, and it seems to surprise people. But if we begin to understand that gender dysphoria has nothing whatsoever in the world to do with sexuality, it has everything to do with how we see ourselves. And then what we want to find out is, why do we see ourselves as a different gender? And when we start looking at the research findings, we discover that gender dysphoria, according to the research findings, is a childhood developmental disorder where children, especially children, become confused and anxious about their gender identity, and that confusion and anxiety turns into depression that evolves into dysphoria, and dysphoria itself is the opposite side of euphoria. So what we understand is then gender dysphoria is a form of gender depression. So I struggled with that for many years, and until I did get married while I was struggling with the dysphoria at the age of 21. And was married for 17 years, lived in California, as a matter of fact. And after many, many years, went for psychotherapy to a, quote, gender specialist. In fact, the guy that I went to was the guy who wrote the, what we now know is identified as the standards of care for diagnosing and treating people who suffer with gender dysphoria. So I went to a guy who was, clinically speaking, was probably one of the most well-read and well-known persons in the world. So he diagnosed me with gender dysphoria and recommended the gender reassignment surgery, which I waited 2 years after the original diagnosis and went back to him 2 years later to be reevaluated, and he said, yes, you're still suffering from gender dysphoria, and the only cure for that is gender reassignment surgery. And so I opted for the gender reassignment surgery. But what I learned later as I studied psychology at UC Santa Cruz to become someone who could help others with these disorders is that gender dysphoria is not, there is no medical necessity for gender reassignment surgery because according to the research, not according to Walt Heyer, but according to research studies from around the world, including Rome, Japan, the UK, Sweden, and Denmark, people with gender dysphoria are suffering from what they call psychiatric and psychological comorbid disorders that are routinely never diagnosed, and therefore, because they're not diagnosed, they're never treated. So somewhere between 10 and 15 years, people discover that they still have a dysphoria, but now they've altered their body and their life to such a degree that that's even more troubling than it was if they'd gotten the proper treatment to begin with. So that's kind of where I am today, and I have a website, sexchangeregret.com, that currently is reaching about 50,000 people per month. I do media around the world, from Russia to UK to Australia and every other place in the world. We reach 180 countries around the world because people are very interested in knowing what is the onset of gender dysphoria, and they're kind of puzzled by two things. One, that it's a childhood developmental disorder. Again, that's not my opinion. It's what the research studies show. And also that most of them are not homosexual. So that's kind of the, in a nutshell, the whole transgender story of where I am.
Hey, Walt, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to go back to, you know, you said you were four when this whole thing kind of manifested itself. And I'd like to talk a little bit about how you were supported or not supported in that decision, at that age. What, you know, what was your life like and so forth at four that sent you down that road? So we're going to come right back.
Yeah, we have a million questions. We just don't know how to ask them. All right.
If it's a bad question, I'll just say no.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Well, we try not to be weird, but, you know, we're curious. So we are chatting with Walt Heyer. And we'll be right back. You can find all Walt's information on wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to We the People Radio on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Fay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Reading. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Rhonda Ball and James Massad of Enjoy the Magazine. Enjoy the store. In fact, enjoy the empire. Let's find out what's going on in Northern California this coming month. Also, discussions on politics, Trump, Cruz, California primaries, and much more. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The buildings reach up to the sky. The traffic thunders on the busy street. Pavement slips beneath my feet. I walk alone and wonder, who am I?
Nice. You are listening to We the People. We are here with Walt Heyer. And title of the article that I read that prompted me to get a hold of Walt is, I used to be transgender. Here's my take on kids who think they are transgender. And it's a story about a 9-year-old boy selling Girl Scout cookies. And I'm just going to speed to the end because that was the part where I was like, I got to find this guy. It says, the neighbor man was correct about one thing. The Girl Scout at his door was really a boy in a dress, just like I was a young boy who thought I was a girl. And, you know, it's just ripped out of the headlines. We hear this all the time. So, right. Before we went on break, Bill was asking you, Walt, a little bit more about when you were a kid.
Yeah, if we could, let's talk about, if we can, when you were that age, what support or lack of support did you have to talk about your feelings and talk about, you know,
where
you were?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think we expect way, way too much out of a 4-year-old kid. When you start talking about what's a kid feel like, I mean, at the age of 3 or 4 or 5, children are looking for affirmation, they're looking for love, and they're looking for feeling safe. They want to feel safe. They want to feel like they're really cared for. And in my case, I cannot tell you how it started, but I started cross-dressing at the age of 4 while I was being babysat by my grandmother at her house. And she seemed to really be much more excited about me being a girl than she ever was about me being a boy. And she focused on this, and she said, this will be our little secret, and so it became kind of what we did for nearly 2.5 years when I was babysat by my grandmother. We cross-dressed. She even made me a purple chiffon evening dress. Now, in retrospect today, looking back, what I see now is that a young child that I was, a boy, that grandma's affirming this change of gender identity by helping with making me a dress, helping me cross-dress, was actually fracturing my male gender identity. So because she seemed to love the girls so much more than she did the boys. So there was, when you talk about feelings, I was feeling much more loved as a girl than I was as a boy. So obviously, that would be something I would really want to migrate toward. If I was being loved more as a girl, why wouldn't I want to be the girl? So, so therein lies the start of dysphoria. You know, I became dysphoric about my male gender identity because my grandmother did not like my male gender identity as much as she did the made-up female gender identity that was purely a fantasy and as she called it, our little secret. So there, once you plant these seeds in a 3 or 4 year old child, and then nurture that seed just like you would growing something in your garden, and water it by giving it affirmation and support, and even giving it some reality, you've started something that in the psyche is very, very troubling, because the person then is dealing actually with the old identity and the new one that's being affirmed. So there's where the fracturing and the brokenness comes. Now, you know, when I started out as many years ago, and well, today there's no real healing. In California, you can't even go to a therapist and ask for help for gender identity because they've made it against the law. So, you know, when I was young, nobody knew anything about it. I may have been one of the first, transgender kids, because it was, when I was cross-dressing, was in 1944.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So do you think what's going on now? I mean, you're hearing now where they're passing these laws where if you feel like a girl, you can use the girl's restroom. If you feel like a boy, you can use the boy. Do you think that's kind of playing into this same psyche of
just making everybody feel confused?
Just confusing kids at that age that, you know, or down the road are going to be facing these same challenges?
Well, I'm not sure that it's confusing them. I think probably more what it's doing is affirming an ideology about a change of gender that in reality doesn't exist. Because, and I say that not because I'm trying to be abusive or harsh or anything such as that.
Well, let's face it, you're not going to be able to say anything that isn't going to be harsh to somebody on this one.
I suppose you're right.
I say something, I don't know exactly how to word it either.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, what we do know is absolutely impossible to change somebody's gender. Now, it's not impossible to make somebody look like they changed their gender. So that's kind of where we are. Now, so I think the bathroom thing, and one of the things that sort of really caught my curiosity of late is the fact that they call the bathroom bill anti-LGBT. Well, that is so off base, it's laughable, because if you take a lesbian as an example, all lesbians know what bathrooms to go into. They're not confused about going into the women's restroom. So, you know, the L of the LGBT doesn't have a problem with any of the bathroom stuff. So then if you move to the G, which is the gay men, they don't have any trouble knowing which bathroom to go into. They know they're men, and they go into the bathroom. And then if you take the B of the LGBT, and, you know, they're not confused about their gender. They just like dealing sexually with both genders. So they go into the right biological restroom without any problem.
I never thought about it like this.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that transgenders, like I was, I lived eight years as a transgender. I never had any problem knowing which restroom to go into because I was female Laura Jensen. I looked like a female. You can, I never had any problem, never had any question about whether I was female or not. So it's not even any of the LGBT, it's not anti at all, because what the real issue is there's a group called gender nonconforming, and it is the gender nonconformists, which make up, this is such a minuscule,
microscopic
percentage of the population. When you think that transgenders make up 0.3% of 1%, we're talking really small numbers. Now, in terms of gender nonconforming, it's a fraction. They represent a fraction of the transgender. So we're doing all of these laws to accommodate the smallest fraction of people who do not want to conform. They really do not want to conform to gender norms. And so it really isn't anti-LGBT, because the L, G, B, and T all know which bathroom to go into. That's pretty simple. But it's the people who don't want to conform to the label on the door that are causing these laws to be, erupted. And so it's really odd that we would give such a small fraction of the population, it's small, and then give them the power over the entire rest of the population about who goes into what bathroom. So if we look at this, there's nothing anti-LGBT about it at all.
Yeah,
because it's all been spurned and started by people who just don't want to conform to gender norms. And those people, frankly, are not transgender, they're not lesbian, they're not gay, and they're not bisexual. They're a whole different group.
Well, they're probably
they're just people. They're just people with a solution in search of a problem.
Well, that's probably not the only thing they don't want to conform with either. I mean, let's face it; they probably don't want to conform with a bunch of different things, and that just happens to be a hot button right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I have linked. I've linked a handful of articles. It was not hard to find you on the internet. At all, not difficult. There's quite a bit, and maybe when we come back from this break, you could talk to us a little bit about some of the. I was curious about the pushback that you get, because honestly, after going through all this, it seems like it'd be easy to just go live your life, and instead, you became very, very public, and have I'm sure helped a lot of people. But you're a voice that is a. That's really rare. I just was curious if there are other people out there speaking out like you are, and what kind of a reception you get, everywhere. There's an article in Media Matters, and all you have to do is read down through the comment section. It's like, oh, wow, stupidity is alive and well. So we'll be right back. And Walt, let me just figure out, do I say your name? Is it Hire or Hayer?
It is Hire, just like...
Yeah, hire you for
taxes.
A job. Sure. just like taxes. That's right. We should have landed on that the first time. Just wanted to make sure I was saying it properly. So we have Walt Hire with us, and he is an author and a public speaker with a passion to help others who regret gender change. His website is sexchangeregret.com. He has a blog at walthire.com, and you can find all of that at wethepeopleradio.us. And I hope you're listening with a pencil in your hand, because if you're not, you're going to miss everything. We'll be right back.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully. Oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is going to be good. Wow.
Rodeo. Steer wrestling. Team roping. Saddle bronc riding. Barrel racing. And of course, bull riding. Rodeo.
Running rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like a singing bird in the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my daddy did, but I'm living a dream that he can't feel. Rolling me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead till I won't pass by.
Welcome back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Walt Heyer. And he is now 74. He acts as a counselor to those who are considering sex change surgery and feels that the psychological vetting of patients before the operation is inadequate. And, you know, most of us can't comment on that, Walt, because we really don't know. So you're in a very small group of experts, really. But you take a lot of shots, I would imagine, for this.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't counsel anybody. What I do is I provide research studies that are done by research organizations, colleges, universities, and others. I provide information to people who are considering the change and let them make their own decision about whether they feel it's going to be adequate for them or a good thing for them. And but I don't try to counsel them away. I just let the research work speak for that. But most of the people that I spend time working with or talking with are the people who've gone through it. And 8, 9, 10, 15, 20 years later said, wow, this was not a good thing, and they want help. So I'm not in the discouragement business.
No.
except to provide information so people can make an informed decision, which I was not allowed to do when I was told that I needed the surgery.
Right. Well, I guess because I was reading the dopes at Media Matters, and it was just, the whole thing was kind of, You already explained the LGBT thing in the last segment, and so this makes their whole article basically stupid, which is like most of their stuff, but a popular right-wing activist with extreme discredited views about LGBT people is making the media rounds. It's like, okay, that whole sentence makes no sense.
Yeah, see, I don't ever read that stuff.
That's probably good.
You know, I realize that, you know, this is what they need to do, but what they don't know is that, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic, 30 years recovery as of today, as a matter of fact.
Good for you.
And my sponsor and longtime friend is a homosexual, and among the group of people that I know, there's lesbians and others that are friends of mine. So the fact that someone would report that I'm anti, and I've been a transgender, and the fact that they're saying I'm anti-LGBT is just, I mean, it should be a Saturday Night Live skit rather than something that somebody could print.
That's what I mean. As I read this, I thought, wow, this isn't even close. But you had a, I mean, you had a hard road because you have kids, and you were you were married at the, well, you were divorced just before you did the surgery, right?
That's correct.
I read several things, and so I just don't want to get things sideways.
Yeah.
But
right.
And then you worked all that out afterward, you know, with your kids. I thought that part of there was one very long article that I've linked here on the page, and I thought your whole going back to your kids and talking to them about what you did and making and mending those fences, I guess, or building.
Right.
I thought that was great, actually. There are a lot of people whose parents should do that regardless of what they did.
Well, yeah, I think when a parent's really been very foolish and done things that have harmed their children, they need to make amends to them. And, you know, and sometimes it doesn't suffice for the children. They're still going to remain angry. But you still have to do what you can. And so... I just don't want anybody else to go through what I've gone through. There, everything about, from my life, from my perspective, and from literally hundreds of letters that I've gotten from people who've gone through the surgery, has convinced me that in the long run, there is really nothing good about changing genders surgically. And devoting your life to being a transgender, it has long-range implications that are just not very rewarding. Now, I will say that 100% of the people at the outcome of right after surgery, they're all very happy. You know, there is this tremendous period of happiness and joy and all that stuff that goes on. For each individual, however, that fades over time, and some people, I've had them write me and tell me that it went away at 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I've had some of them write me, I have one, not some, I had one specific one write me and say it was 30 years later. So anywhere in between, people come to realize that there's something about changing genders that will have a regrettable outcome, and that I think is a message that doesn't get out there, and the fact that if you look on the blog and you'll see that the studies show that the vast majority of people who opt for a gender change have mental disorders. None of them are, you know, wacko disorders. They're just bipolar disorder or dissociative disorder or obsessive compulsive disorder or schizophrenia. I mean, they're all treatable disorders. That's my point. I mean, I'm not trying to paint them as being a wacko population. What they really need, rather than hormones and someone chopping off body parts, is actually some good, sound psychotherapy. But now what we have is people who are writing for these other opposing views are preventing anyone from really having access to good psychotherapy that would prevent them from having surgery. So that's kind of where I come from.
So So what I hear you saying is you were...
Nice job, Dr. Bill.
Yeah. The unhappiness, the unhappiness and depression that you experienced prior to your surgery went away after the surgery, but then came back a short time later. So that obviously told you that wasn't the problem. Now, how
right.
many... What's the, or do you know what the percentage of people that experience that same effect that go through what you went through, what percentage of people fall into that category?
Well, you know, there's two things that when we talk about this, that are really important for people to kind of get their head around and dialogue about. First off, the transgender population as a whole, people who claim to be transgender or self-identify as transgender, 41% of them attempt suicide. So if we look at that group, 41% will attempt suicide at some point during or after their transition. So if you look at that and then say to yourself, I don't know anybody who is happy with their life that's going to try to end it by committing suicide. So if, in my view, I look at the 41% as sort of the regretters who we cannot hear from on the radio. I happen to be one of the ones who attempted suicide and didn't die, however, so you are hearing from me. But, and then I've got a blog posting on my blog that shows that somewhere around 20%, according to some study, I don't remember which one it was because it was so long ago, that about 20% of the people regret the surgery. Now, there was a doctor, Dr. Charles Ilenfeld, who was one of the original people who administered hormones and therapy to some 500 transgenders over a six-year period during the 70s. And he said that a change of gender, and this is his words, now he was a homosexual activist and doctor helping transgenders transition, and he said that changing genders, and I quote, is only a temporary reprieve and not a lifelong solution.
Mm.
So that's from him. I don't think there's any real adequate percentages that you can put on how many people regret it. But I look at the reported 41% who commit suicide, attempt suicide, as regretters.
Yeah.
Because they must be regretting it.
So that's 41% after the surgery?
Well, it's before and after. Through
okay.
anybody who identifies at some point will have said that they had attempted suicide.
Wow. That's a huge number.
That's big.
So, yeah. So if there's any portion of that people who are left, then we could say that, you know, it's pretty much a crapshoot from there on out how many people are really going to benefit from it long term. And I'll reiterate that everybody thinks it's really good the first several years. For me, it was 8 years. I know people have gone as long as 20 years. So what we're seeing in the young children who are being put on television and stuff, they may be getting a lot of affirmation right now, but we really don't know what the long-term outcome, if it's actually going to be beneficial to them to have been given TV shows and given such media focus or not. That still remains an open question.
Yeah, you know, and with this, nobody can say no to anything, and we've got to accept everything, no matter, you know, what it is. And I'm sure there are a segment of parents out there that think, well, I'm afraid to mess up my kid by telling him that this isn't reality, and you're not allowed to go to a counselor and sort that out, in the state of California anyway. Is that common across the country, or is that just out here with us crazy people?
Well, it's starting to work its way through many segments of the country, but I think there's some people in different places that are starting to wake up to the fact and kind of learn that, you know, there's also a study that's on my blog that shows if we leave the children alone, 94% of them would actually grow out of their gender dysphoria if we just didn't encourage them toward a gender change.
Oh, if you just let them grow up?
Yeah, you just, you know,
imagine
you,
that.
You don't, well, you don't buy them a dress, you don't get them little pink pumps, and you don't send them off to school and affirm that they're really somebody they're not. And, you know, I know that's not very popular, but the studies, and everything that I say, I can back up with a university or some organization. So I'm not just speaking off the cuff or trying to be harsh or anything else.
Right.
There's studies out there, and there's life stories like mine that back it up.
Well, when you grew up, did was there much of a male influence in your life as a young child?
Yeah, I was sexually molested by my uncle.
Oh, well, that's a good male
that's
influence.
Not exactly the influence I was looking for.
Yeah, and that's from the people who write me. There's a pretty good, not every one of them, but there's a pretty good percentage of people who are transgender that were molested or sexually abused as a young child.
Wow.
Well, right. See, that just goes back to your conclusion that they really need some psychological help. And now we've prevented that. Isn't that smart of us? We need to take one last quick break. We'll be back with Walt to finish off our thoughts. We have a lot of people asking if you were an only child and if you have brothers and sisters and, if, you know, all these things. You know, everybody's curious about all this. So maybe you could give us some rapid-fire information when we come back.
I can do that. I can do rapid-fire.
We can do Walt lightning round. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
You give your hand to me, and then you say hello. I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.
You're listening to We the People Radio on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Join me this Mother's Day at View 202 on the Veranda. Hi, this is Linda Bott. May 8th is Mother's Day, so bring your mom and the family for a special Mother's Day brunch overlooking the beautiful Sacramento River from 10 to 4. There will be special prices for seniors and children. Make a great Mother's Day memory this May 8th with jazz on the veranda with the Linda Bott Jazz Ensemble and a very special Mother's Day brunch menu. Call View 202 for reservations today at 226-8439.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad?
Welcome back. You're rejoining We the People Radio. We are here with Walt Heyer. Okay, Walt. So, what are some other things people need to know that we haven't that we just don't know to ask you?
Well, yeah. I mean, when at the break you asked me if I had a brother. Yes, I do. He was raised or babysat by a different grandmother in a different part of Los Angeles, so he didn't have the same experience I did, and so it was a rather shock to him to learn what my grandmother did. In fact, he just can't believe it. You know, he didn't have the uncle experience. He didn't have my experience, and my uncle molested me because he found out that my grandmother had been cross-dressing me, and he thought that was, you know, I was a good target because I was a boy wearing a dress. So everything evolved from grandma cross-dressing me and making that dress. So but if you want the story, because I'm self-supporting in all that I do, the book.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Kid Dakota and the Secret at Grandma's House tells the story. And then if you want more research information, the book Paper Genders, which is sold worldwide and has been reprinted in Italian and published in Italy, is a great book for resource information, as well as the other books. So more detail can be found in those books.
That's terrific. I did see that, and I did not link those. I linked a lot of links and put a couple articles on, but I will put your book links on there. Because that's a great idea. For people who just, you know, don't know anything about this topic, maybe don't have anybody in their family who's dealing with this that they know of, how can they be helpful? Huddled masses out here that are going, is the world gone crazy?
Yeah, it's very difficult to be helpful to people who are confused and struggle themselves. I would just plead with people to get informed so that when they talk about it, they're not reading off the LGBT playlist about what this is, because there's more than one playlist. And so there is a lot of studies that refute all the claims that the LGBT makes about transgender. So, that's my plea is for people. I always tell people, get educated. Don't take my word for it. Read the studies. That's why I've put so many studies in all my books. I link to all the studies so that it's not my word speaking. I'm more of a person who's pointing people to the studies, rather than me making some outlandish claim. It's the research information that gives us the information that tells us there's something wrong. And this guy that did this, Dr. Hillenfeld, in the late 70s, said that he left giving hormone therapy and helping people change genders because he said there is too many suicides and too much unhappiness among the people changing genders, so I'm going to study psychiatry. And he became a psychiatrist. He's still a practicing psychiatrist up in New Jersey.
Uh-oh. Hey, Bob?
Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we are.
It got really quiet there for a second. It's like,
yeah, so did you get that?
Yep, sorry. I think the NSA must have gotten a little scramble going on their tape.
It's really about educating people. People can't help someone if they're not well-informed about it. All they can do is follow what the TV is telling them. And, you know, and the TV is doing what we call, there's a psychological term for it. It's called flooding and desensitizing by having ABC, as an example, over 50% of their primetime content is LGBT oriented.
So yes, we've noticed.
When you have a population of LGBT comprised 3.4% of the total population, and then on television they have over 50% of LGBT content, you know that we're being brainwashed.
Absolutely. And you know, there are a lot of us out there who think that, but it, you know, we're kind of not allowed to say it. But it's nice to get a little confirmation on this, because it feels like sometimes we're living in crazy town.
Yeah. Well, you are.
And we got that from the expert.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, thanks for taking time out of your travels today to chat with us. We'd love to have you back, especially if you'd like to promote one of the books in a little more detail or any of that.
Sure.
Thanks very much. We really...
Yeah, thanks for being on, Walt. It was very, very, very interesting.
We've waded into water that was brand new for us.
Well, good. I'm glad I could do it. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to be on and speak about it, and in an effort to really help people. I'm not trying to hurt anybody at all.
Absolutely. Thanks a million. Folks, you can find all the information about Walt Heyer on our site, wethepeopleradio.us, his blog, links, and books.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Trump says competing against Republican rivals is wasting time that he could be spending raising campaign cash. Trump says he's very close to clinching the nomination.
I knocked out 17 people. I mean, the two last ones, they're like hanging by their fingertips. They're choking. Don't let me fall. Don't let me fall. Let me choose Carly. Maybe that'll turn it around. But Carly got out. She had zero.
Trump referring to Carly Fiorina, the VP pick for Ted Cruz. Trump spoke while campaigning in Indiana ahead of Tuesday's primary. Bill Clinton has drawn boos and shouts from a crowd as he made a campaign stop in Logan, West Virginia, on his wife's behalf. Supporters of Democrat Bernie Sanders and Republican Donald Trump gathered outside the school as the former president spoke today. Hillary Clinton's been criticized for saying that her policies would put coal miners and companies out of business. CSX officials say cleanup efforts will soon begin after one of its freight trains derailed in Washington, D.C. A CSX spokeswoman says that the sodium hydroxide leak from one of the derailed cars has been sealed. She says another car was found to be leaking non-hazardous calcium chloride. That leak has also been plugged. She says that a third car is slowly leaking ethanol from the base of a valve. Officials are working to reseal it. No one was injured in the derailment. No evacuations have been ordered. Authorities say six people have been killed in a highway crash in South Florida.
There were three people that were pronounced dead on scene. There were six people transported to three local hospitals, where three other people died at the hospitals.
The Florida Highway Patrol says four children among those killed in last night's crash involving a minivan and an SUV on Interstate 95 in Jupiter. Two adults and a child survived with injuries ranging from serious to minor. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you being denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates? At CreditRepair.com, we know life happens. Divorce, medical bills, student loans, and many other reasons why credit scores fall. That's why at CreditRepair.com, we're committed to helping folks get the second chance they deserve to improve their credit.
CreditRepair.com is actually acting as an advocate for me. Things that I thought when you paid them off, they were still on there. Things that I didn't even know were on there. But they got them removed. I feel they're doing what they said they'd do and beyond. I'm not going to abuse this second chance that they gave me. I'm in the process now of buying a home. CreditRepair.com actually does work.
We can help you get a second chance at great credit. The consultation is free and includes a free credit score and summary credit report. We'll review your current credit situation right on the phone with a game plan to restore it. Call 800-231-1735. That's 800-231-1735. Again, 800-231-1735. 800-231-1735.
Congress accomplished relatively little this past week, missing deadlines on the budget and on helping Puerto Rico before leaving town for a week-long recess.
They left behind few clues about how they'll address some must-do items, including finding money to fight Zika and averting a financial meltdown in Puerto Rico. GOP leaders ignored a call by Democrats to modify this spring's 3 weeks on, 1 week off legislative schedule so they could deal with some of these issues. Over the past month, the Senate finally passed a major energy bill and made some progress on helping Flint deal with its water crisis. But progress on a $1 trillion spending package and a measure to fight Zika are moving much slower than expected. Wally Hines, Capitol Hill.
Los Angeles police say a car jumped a curb and ran over four pedestrians, killing a 63-year-old woman and injuring three of her young relatives. Police say the car went onto the sidewalk after colliding with another vehicle yesterday. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Pets traveling with their owners now have their own bathroom at New York's JFK Airport.
The tiny room is outfitted with a red fire hydrant and a patch of artificial turf, and it's the latest pet relief facility to be installed at airports across the country. The room allows service and guide dogs, emotional support animals, and pets traveling with their owners to relieve themselves without the need to exit the terminal and go through security again. A federal regulation requires all airports serving more than 10,000 passengers per year must install a pet relief area in every terminal by this August. Similar indoor facilities already operating at Dulles International outside Washington, D.C., Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and at Seattle-Tacoma. Ron DeRockster reporting.
A New York senator is asking the Federal Trade Commission to investigate an advertising technique that uses mobile phone data to learn about people who pass by billboards. Charles Schumer says most people don't realize their location data is being monitored. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot. So you should go back to our website at wethepeopleradio.us and listen to that. This afternoon, we will have a commercial-free archive up for you. And let's see, our show airs Sundays live from noon to 2. We have a chat room open during that time period online. And
on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, that's right. Got to point that out. And then on the East Coast, we have shifted to sudden Saturday afternoons from 2:30 to 4. They're airing the program commercial-free, so they can fit it in an hour and a half. They had a little programming change during the week, so they moved us to Saturdays. And that is on WNJC 1360 with the Conservative Commandos Radio
Network.
Okay,
so we're not on Mondays anymore?
We're not on Mondays anymore.
Okay.
I know. We keep shifting. Well, if he finds a program that's Monday through mm-hmm. Friday, then he kind of moves us around because we're just one day mm-hmm. a week. So anyway, we've had a little shifting and changing, but you can always find us here on the website. And, you know, we always have good information for you, so you don't have to take notes during the show. Although, last show, you probably needed to take notes. I thought that was pretty good.
So Saturday, 2:30 to 4 Eastern time?
Check.
Okay.
Philadelphia, New Jersey.
11:30 to 1
here.
Pacific time, if
right.
you care to listen.
We're between the pencil and the shot glass, but not the Cupid doll. I'm something
That's
wrong
Bill
with
filling
me.
In as the jerk. for all those people who don't get the movie reference, you might be too young. That would be a shame for you.
Yeah.
All right. So now we've had our. That was
you
like
gotta
the.
Gotta know your Shinola.
That was like the
us,
ginger
sure.
in the Japanese food there. Now we're moving on. A different topic. We've switched from transgender regret to First Amendment victory. Dun, 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 with Mario Lopez, who is not the Mario Lopez of what?
Was it Entertainment Tonight or one of those
Mario,
shows like that?
Mario, where are you doubling?
Well, my alter ego apparently was on Saved by the Bell and now is on Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
Well, that's awesome. I hope they screw up and give you the residuals. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Still waiting for that check, right?
You just hold your breath. So I've got a little blurb here on you. It's kind of long, actually. I will not read it all because I'll let you give us the fun part. But you are the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund, an advocacy organization dedicated to promoting limited government, individual liberty, and free enterprise. Well, imagine that. Sort of sounds like we're on the same page. And then I also was reading down here, prior to founding the Hispanic Leadership Fund, you were in the House of Representatives as executive director of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, or conference.
Conference, correct.
Conference. Actually, I read that wrong. It sounded like you were trapped in the U.S. House of Representatives. I had to do a double take. I'm like, what? They're not allowed to do that. So tell us about, give us a little on your background, but we want to get to this this case because this is a good one. And obviously, they're so busy covering, you know, the circus, the presidential circus. Nobody will ever hear about this victory, it seems.
It's gotten a decent amount of attention, I'd say, considering, you know,
yeah,
as you mentioned,
the circus.
The, you know, the presidential race is an ongoing, well, circus is a good word.
So. Yes, well, they, presidential circus.
Well, they made a show about it. There's a show called The Circus, and they have somebody who follows each of the campaigns, and they give a weekly update. It's on, like, I don't know, Showtime or something. I saw it once.
Yeah.
And it did kind of look like a circus. It was aptly named.
Yep.
So tell us about you. What's your background?
Sure. I've been in Washington, D.C. a number of years and involved in the political and public policy process, originally from California. And like a lot of folks, sort of fled that state due to the...
We're trapped here.
The deteriorating nature of the policies and the effects they're in. But I've been involved for a long time. The Hispanic Leadership Fund is, as you mentioned, it's an African organization that's national, based in the nation's capital. And we're interested in promoting public policy that supports liberty, opportunity, and prosperity, as you mentioned. And one of the things that we've been heavily involved in and monitoring over the last few years are First Amendment rights. Everyone's familiar, I think, to some degree with the fact that those First Amendment rights seem to be eroding in the last few years. Several instances, one sort of overarching theme has been the IRS and their targeting of organizations that the Obama administration and their allies have deemed, wrong on certain issues. And they've decided to use the power of government to go after these folks with whom they disagree. And this has been a rather unfortunate, sad trend that's been happening. The case that most recently, brought me to your attention is the free speech case out in California, again, with an organization with whom we're familiar with, Americans for Prosperity Foundation, battling the attorney general out there. What she wanted to do is she wanted to get her hands on the membership and donor list of that organization, and her supposed reasoning was to help, in her role as AG, to help prevent fraud, quote unquote.
Send thank you cards.
She was going to send them all thank you cards. Yeah, good thinking.
Exactly. And so we know the real reason is because this has happened in the past, and it's already happened to donors of organizations like AFP and other. There's been intimidation, harassment, threats. They're names and addresses, home addresses in a lot of cases, business addresses have been made public, and people show up to their home, to their place of business, and basically intimidate them and harass them, and do all sorts of untawdry things, in order to basically because of their political views, that's something that we don't think falls within the proper scope of the role of government. And so we battled this on a number of fronts, and we were very happy to see that the federal court cited against Attorney General Kamala Harris in recent days, and are excited to have that First Amendment victory.
Yeah, and that was a huge victory, and considering it was California, probably a big surprise as well.
Well, it was a federal court, so, that's not necessarily always better. But you're right. I mean, had it been a California state court, it may have been a little bit different. This is really a very critical decision for folks out there. And I want to be very clear because, I've debated folks on the radio and TV and elsewhere, friends on the left side of the political spectrum that want to, paint this in a different light. And I just want to be clear for folks, for anybody on the record, that this is about protecting everyone's First Amendment rights. Whether you're on the left, on the right, Republican, Democrat, up, down, if your views are popular, if your views are unpopular, it doesn't matter. That's why we have a First Amendment, is to protect the free association and free speech rights of every single American. And that's, I think that's an important thing because, you know, we're losing something very fundamental, I think, in this country. It used to be, you know, a lot of people could agree on the fact that, you know, the old saying, I disagree with what you say, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is
going
away.
We've lost that a little bit, yeah.
Right. And that's unfortunate because we can have debates. We can have policy debates. You know, our friends on the left say, well, we want high taxes. We want low taxes. Okay, fine. We can debate that. We want this policy. They want that policy. Great. Let's have a vigorous, passionate debate on the issues. But one thing that we should not be doing is, you know, when one party's in office, to use the power and the leverage of government to go after political enemies simply because they have different views than the folks who happen to be in power at that particular moment. That's not something that we should try to replicate. That's more of a hallmark, I think, of third world dictatorships than it is of our democracy. And that's something that I hope that folks on there out there can agree with, regardless of what side of the spectrum they're on politically.
Yeah, and I can hear the left in the back of my mind screaming, money isn't speech, money isn't speech.
Well, I mean, we can leave that point aside for the moment, but honestly, didn't even have to do with the money is speech angle, because what they were trying to do is again, just go after this donor information. And we've seen, particularly in California, I mean, I mentioned at the federal level, the IRS, but particularly in California, back when the gay marriage debate, Proposition 8, a statewide initiative was happening there, I mean, folks were intimidated. Folks were harassed. There were death threats. There were death threats from the AFP Foundation of people involved with them in this particular case. And that's, you know, whether or not we want to talk about the role of money and free speech and what exactly that means. I mean, those are clearly, when you have intimidation and death threats, those are clearly lines that we should not be getting near. And I hope that line is never crossed, because that would be really, really awful, again, regardless of who would be the victim.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem to always translate well there, though. We need to take a really quick break here, and then we'll come right back. The case, what is the name of the case, Mario? I can't seem to find it on my note here.
It's Americans for Prosperity Foundation versus Kamala Harris.
Versus Kamala, okay, so it was versus her. And she is running for office, so for all the people who think that she's off base, she's a gun hater and obviously a First Amendment suppressor, and she's probably going to wind up holding a really big office here shortly, because... seems to be
that's what we do in California.
Seems to be the way we do it.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be from, ain't it, Mario?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things I love about being from there, but, you know, the
mostly just being from, though, you're excited about that. It's the from part. Oh, my gosh. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And you're listening to We the People Radio on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Rhonda Ball and James Masada of Enjoy the Magazine. Enjoy the store. In fact, enjoy the empire. Let's find out what's going on in Northern California this coming month. Also, discussions on politics, Trump, Cruz, California primaries, and much more. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And if it's real, I don't want to know.
Kamala Harris theme song there. I don't know what you're saying, but stop saying it. The only thing better than her being the Attorney General of California is that she's running for the state Senate seat being vacated by Barbara Boxer. Super sad. All right, Mario, how long has this case been going?
Several months, and it was finally decided a few short days ago, I think just over a week or something like that.
So this hasn't dragged out for 8,000 years? Like a lot?
No, surprisingly not. The arguments were in, I believe, February. February. And, it was pretty clear for folks who were looking at this case. I saw some of the transcripts and was... told a little bit about how the questioning went, and it was pretty clear that the judge had some very strong questions for Kamala Harris, questions that, frankly, they couldn't answer. For example, if you were promising confidentiality on this information, how did it become the case that 1,700 times you published supposedly confidential information on the Attorney General website?
That was an accident.
1,700 accidents?
Accident.
Yeah.
Wow, even puppies don't have that many accidents.
Not a dozen times. 1,700 or so.
I knew.
If you had a dog that did that, he would have been given away a long time ago.
Not where I come from.
Yeah, that's oh. No rehoming?
No.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, but we can make fun of it. And that's really where we shine. Unbelievable. So what was their excuse at the very beginning? Like, what started this whole thing? And was Americans for Prosperity the only group they felt like they needed extensive information on? Or was it a bunch of them?
Well, I mean, in her crosshairs are a bunch of organizations that she disagrees with. But, you know, Americans for Prosperity Foundation is a particular appealing target for them, because Charles and David Koch are among the group's founders. And so, you know, for our friends on the left, that's a...
You can't hate giant target. Yeah, you can't hate on them enough.
Right, exactly. And so I think that it was... They chose that for the, you know, sort of the political PR value. And then if they were able, you know, to win that case, and they're going to appeal, by the way, they, at least that's what they said. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, that would, of course, just be the start. I mean, they would want to target, you know, every group that they have political disagreements with. And I guarantee you that, you know, none of the leftist organizations, no labor unions, you know, nobody like that, Common Cause, People for the American Way, you know, they weren't going to be targeted. I can guarantee you that.
And so a lot of times I know that they will try to pretend like they're being fair. She didn't even pretend. Didn't snap up one of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, her excuse was, well, we need this to help protect, you know, prevent fraud and, you know, donors from California to try to protect them. And, I mean, it was thinly veiled, poorly argued, and, you know, thankfully the judge saw right through that. But yeah, they tried to offer some sort of minimal excuses. But, you know, if you listen to not just Kamala Harris, but unfortunately President Obama, you know, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, you know, a lot of folks like that. I mean, they're very clear that, you know, they hate organizations that espouse views that are run contradictory to, you know, what their socialist vision is for America. And they want to silence those folks. They want to use the power of government to go after their political enemies.
And it's not going to probably get any better anytime soon. So how does your organization figure it? Well, I don't know. It could get better.
On a federal level, I think it's going to get.
You never know.
It's going to get trimmed.
How did you guys get involved in this with the Hispanic Leadership Fund?
Sure. Well, we've been a strong advocate for First Amendment rights from our inception. We've been involved in actually a couple different court cases. One at the state level in New York, fairly strong election law case up in New York a couple years ago, and also at the federal level, we were involved in when Chris Van Hollen, who is a member of Congress from Maryland, and at the time he was chairman of one of the Democrat campaign committees, they tried to pass, when the Democrats were in control of the House, they tried to pass what's called the Disclose Act to try to, you know, get to some of the same, these same points that Kamala Harris is trying to make. They tried to do that legislatively twice. Twice they failed to have this pass into law in Congress. And then the Supreme Court also struck down some very similar, limitations. And so, what they couldn't do legislatively and what the Supreme Court had knocked down, he went and decided that he wanted to try to sue the Federal Election Commission to try to force them to unilaterally change their rules to get what he wanted. And, you know, we saw this for what it was and filed a motion to intervene which is, I'm not a lawyer, but essentially you sort of step in as a defendant even though you're not directly named in the lawsuit. So we filed this motion to intervene. The court accepted it. And, you know, our interest is, we know that among the folks that they're going to target are minority organizations that espouse different views that they do, because that is one of the biggest threats to their political power that they see. When you have Hispanic, African American, or Asian organization that has views that defend liberty, prosperity, free markets, that is a huge threat.
That blows their whole narrative.
It's a big lobby, and they don't need that kind of talk going on.
You guys are supposed to be liberal, and you just didn't.
Absolutely.
You just didn't get the memo.
That's right. That's right. Well, I got the memo, but I tore it to shreds. I mean, we saw this and we saw the writing on the wall and said, you know what, in addition to, you know, the Charles and David Koch and, you know, that kind of stuff, I mean, very high on their list of targets are, again, minority organizations that have different political views than they do. And so we said, you know, we're going to grab this bull by the horns. We're going to step in. We're going to file this motion and intervene. We're going to defend this case. And we did successfully twice in federal court. Most recently in January, there was a substantial victory for our side in federal court. And so, you know, we've taken a strong interest in this. We will continue to do so. And we congratulate Americans for Prosperity Foundation and their recent victory. And we want to make sure that we do everything we can to call attention to these efforts. Because, again, it's just so far out of bounds that I think even folks who may disagree with us on, you know, whether it's taxes or energy or labor policy or anything else, hopefully the majority of those folks can at least see that we should not be suppressing freedom of speech for people who we disagree with. That's just far, far out of bounds.
Sure. And when you, I guess there are a lot of people, however, who cannot seem to make the connection between belonging to, donating to an organization and that being free speech. You know, if it's not literally words coming out of your mouth, it's not considered free speech. And I'm sure you've you've had to debate those people more than once.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really kind of bizarre because, I mean, you know, imagine if you said you have freedom of the press, but if you spend money on your right to exercising your right to freedom of the press, then you no longer have that right. I mean, it's just so weird.
If you sell the newspaper, it's not freedom of the press anymore.
Right. I mean, it's a bizarre thing, and I think just some folks are just can't get their heads around the fact that, you know, some people aren't going to see the world the way you do. And again, that's why we have the political process. That's why we have, you know, the sort of the representative government that we're supposed to have, is so that we can hash out these debates.
Sure.
And have this, you know, exercise through the democratic process, but not through using the power of government as a hammer to hit your political opponents over the head with. That's just something that we see in third world dictatorships and banana republics. I mean, that's not something that we should ever want here, again, regardless of which side of the fence you're on.
Yeah, when you debate these folks and you talk about that, is there any recognition that this could go the wrong way for them later?
You know, I've brought that up time and again, and they don't quite seem to get it. And, I mean, sometimes they do, but they kind of, you know, oh, well, I don't think that would happen, or, you know, they just sort of excuse it away. But I think that that's a very strong point that I've tried to say to them, is that, look, you know, we have to think about these things from a neutral perspective. We have to think about these things is what happens, okay, today. You know, President Obama's in power, and he commands the IRS to go after conservative organizations. But what happens tomorrow when someone else is in power? Can he do the same thing? I mean, should he be going out to he or she or whoever, be going after groups that they have political disagreements with? Again, with the power of government? I mean, it's one thing to say, listen, these guys are wrong. Their policies are terrible. Their ideas stink. I mean, whatever, you know, want to say.
You drop flyers out of an airplane, take an ad out of the paper, you know.
Sure, exactly. But to use the power of government is just a whole new level that's just beyond the pale, frankly. Yeah. And that's something that I think on an individual level, some of my friends on the left who I've debated, you know, they kind of get that. But when it comes to, you know, debates in public on radio or TV or something, they always, it makes them kind of squirm, but they refuse to somehow acknowledge that that's a possibility.
Oh, it just couldn't happen? This instance, it's okay, but it'll never happen again to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
It's
really bizarre.
How do you,
bizarre.
Yeah, how do you respond to that? You're like, okay, I have to go now.
Right.
I have a personal policy. I don't debate crazy people.
I have a list to make up here.
Yeah, I mean, they just change the topic back to the old, you know, the money, politics, and corporations, and this and that, you know. I mean, they love to hate on corporations, but labor unions, you know, that's okay.
They're magical,
you know, if labor unions who steal money, many times unwillingly from, you know, workers who might not want to be part of that labor union, you know, stealing their money and using that in the political process, that's okay. But people who voluntarily give to an organization like ours or like AFP or, you know, any number of other organizations,
that's wrong.
No, that's evil.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, how do you have it? How long are these debates? Like 5 minutes? Pretty quick, kind of in and out. I can't imagine having to
show and you know and all that. But
Well, that's nutty. I can't. It's funny that you didn't have to sue anybody over this. Ridiculous. We need to take a really quick break. Hey, when we come back, we don't know a lot about your organization, and I think you wind up being kind of an unsung hero a little bit. So before we get off the air, we want to make sure we plug you guys and get all your good contact information and stuff. We noticed your Facebook page is a little bit old. Maybe you'll have better contact for us. We've got people trying to look you up and they can't find you. We'll be right back talking to Mario Lopez from... Oh, sorry. The words are starting on the song. Gotta go.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460, KCNR.
It's Lady Bod and the Bluebirds at Elements Lounge and Wind River Resort and Casino Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. We'll have a night of jazz and fun with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Verimonis on drums, and special guest Lou White from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Lady Bod and the Bluebirds, Romance on the River, Cinco de Mayo style, May 5th. Call 243-3377 for reservations today.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
This is going to be good.
Wow. Rodeo. Steer wrestling. Team roping. Saddle bronc riding. Barrel racing. And, of course, bull riding. Rodeo.
Reading Rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Yeah.
didn't remember saying shut up now, but that's good. Bob, Bob, Bob. Alrighty, we're here with Mario Lopez. He is the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. They're an advocacy organization dedicated to promoting limited government, individual liberty, and free enterprise. Super fun. And they helped beat Kamala Harris on a, I don't know, suppression of speech case, a free speech case.
And by the way, the show the other Mario Lopez is on is Extra.
Oh.
Not Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, so Mario, unless the checks come from Extra, don't cash them. They're fake.
I'll cash any check. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
I'm telling Kamala Harris.
It's got my name on it. I'm cashing it.
There you go.
So what other fun stuff do you guys do?
Sure. Well, we're involved. You mentioned the basic principles that we defend, and we want to do a couple things. We want to communicate how those principles and how public policy and laws based on those principles are beneficial for all Americans. Obviously, we have a particular interest in communicating that to Latinos and Hispanics across the country, you know, whether it's in states like California, Texas, or Florida, or other states where the population is growing, like North Carolina, Ohio, for example, and other states. So we're involved in the political process at the federal level and in those in other states that I mentioned. And we also want to make sure that we're reaching policymakers, legislators, members of Congress to educate them as to how they can reach those constituencies and also, you know, encourage them to take their message, you know, folks who we agree with, obviously, to take their message to those communities because, you know, the demographics of the country are changing and we want to make sure that we keep the American dream alive for anyone who wants to avail themselves of that opportunity. And we think that it's really important to communicate these principles to Americans of all backgrounds.
Well, see, it's funny because if you watch the news, it looks like, I mean, if I just told people that I was having someone on the air from the Hispanic Leadership Fund, they would figure you were a wholly owned subsidiary of the left. Because that's what we're all led to believe, that there are no conservative folks, that like your organization just couldn't possibly be real.
Right, right. Well, I mean, we are, I can assure you that.
I know, it's exciting.
And yeah, we love having those debates with folks. And, you know, I've been in front of audiences, you know, a lot of different audiences at the community level and that. And, you know, sometimes the initial response is a bit of skepticism. But once we start getting into, you know, the real substance of debates, whether it's parental choice for schools or low taxes, or policies, you know, what can really help jumpstart the economy in terms of helping small businesses, for example, which we know are still the engine of economic growth for our great country. I mean, small businesses create the majority of new jobs by a long shot, actually. And Hispanics, it just so happens, start small businesses at a rate three times that of the general population.
Oh, wow.
And so, absolutely. And so, you know, those, you know, any issue from an economic perspective that impacts small business, which is to say pretty much all of them, those are all tremendous opportunities to educate folks and to, you know, sort of show them what works and what doesn't work. And at the end of the day, I think that that's what we really have going for us is the fact that free market policies work and socialist policies fail. And that's a truth that you can see in any number of countries, in any number of instances. And that's something that I think is very powerful. And so usually by the end of the talk, you have a lot of people nodding their head and kind of saying, okay, I see that. But the issue, unfortunately, for our side has been, you know, that a lot of times people just don't get this message. They don't, they just haven't had anyone explain things to them and walk them through this. And to the extent that they've had folks, you know, address them about politics and policy, it usually is someone from the left.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this tremendous need and thirst, I think, for information and for truth out there. We try to give them a little bit of that, and I think that we're successful, and I love doing it. So, you know, it's a great battle to be a part of.
That's awesome, because out here in California, I mean, the demographic has obviously shifted a lot. I don't know where the biggest shift is in the country, because I happen to live here, so we follow this pretty, you know, daily. What advice would you give California to get with the program, because we're losing it?
Right. Well, I think that the big thing, again, is just engaging folks. And, you know, it's nice to have to just kind of address an audience with someone who looks a little like them. I mean, I think that that can never really hurt. But at the same time, you know, I encourage, you know, folks who agree with me politically to not let it stop them if it's, you know, if just because the audience might look a little bit different or something. Because the principles that we believe in are universal. Liberty, prosperity, opportunity, you know, the things enshrined in the Constitution, those things are universal truths. And the founders spelled that out very, very clearly, I think, and gave us a great set of talking points to use in the Constitution and the defense of the Constitution that they laid out, you know, so many years ago. And so I'd say that, you know, you have to engage, you have to show up, be willing to defend your principles. I really admire politically Jack Kemp, one of my heroes from back in the day, and I'll date myself, you know, a little bit, but I remember, you know, growing up, reading a little bit about him, and then as I got older and more involved politically, reading more. And I love the fact that he was someone who was willing to stand on any street corner in this country, in any neighborhood, and explain why free market principles were better for people in that neighborhood, for them and their families, and demonstrate to people how that was the case, and to speak truth to them. And that's something I think that we need more of, because once people, when we have those committed messengers, and once people understand and really get that, I think there's a lot of power there, because the other side only offers division. They only offer government dependency. You know, vote for us and we'll take care of you. I mean, that's the socialist way. And that's something that I think, you know, once you sort of rattle the cage a little bit and get people to kind of to see where you're coming from and are willing to explain it to them and to not just stop, you know, after a couple seconds or if you get a tough question, then you will see results. And we have seen that in candidates who have been willing to do that in a number of races. Most famously, President George W. Bush, who, you know, whether one agrees or disagrees, I mean, he showed up in those neighborhoods. He was committed. He didn't stop after just one or two times. He kept at it, and it yielded tremendous results for him in both of his elections.
Yeah, I didn't really remember that, but yeah, you're right. And we've got to do that again, because it's getting really...
He won 44% of the Hispanic vote nationally in his reelection bid in 2004.
No kidding.
44%. And so here's the other part of this, is that not only is it desirable and a nice and great thing to do, but politically, frankly, it's necessary, because,
yeah,
you know, you just can't win the White House without having a certain number of the Hispanic vote. And if you're going to do what Mitt Romney did, which is fall all the way to 20, 26, 25%, that's just not good enough. And it just doesn't add up mathematically to 270 electoral votes, which is what you need. So, again, it's just, you know, it's not just a nice thing to do politically. We have to do this for folks who believe in the political values that we share.
Sure. Yeah, we have to make it meaningful for more people. And I think really I think you're right. Once you explain it to people, I think they see themselves there. I don't think they really want to, you know, sit around and have half of what their neighbor doesn't have so that everybody has the same amount and we can all, you know, raise $3 for Bernie. I mean, I just think that I think at the end of the day that's a tough sell. Although I did see a Cadillac yesterday with "Feel the Burn" on the back, and I'm like, could that just be confusing? Or and then I looked down and on the bumper that was actually on the trunk. Now, see, if I have a Cadillac, I'm definitely putting a bumper sticker right on the paint. for starters. But then, like, down on the bumper, it was, you know, burning 2016. I'm like, okay, so I guess that was the Feel the Burn. I thought maybe they were Forest Service employees or something. I don't know.
Limiting liberals.
Yeah, you just never know. I need to take one more quick
constant
break.
Constant state of confusion.
I know. Constant state of what the heck
it's
happened?
Gotta hurt.
How did this happen? We'll be right back.
I love being on with you guys. Though. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because we're goof-offs. Is that it? Is that the allure?
Well, I mean, you know.
I know. We could be all serious and everything, but it's so hard. We'll be right back and finish out the top of the hour with Mario Lopez, who is the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. It's an advocacy organization dedicated to promoting limited government, individual liberty, and free enterprise.
God, where have I heard that before?
Oh, good stuff.
Huh.
Be right back.
People.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460, KCNR.
Dandelion, unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
National news with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
That should be like the theme song right now. It's like our whole country's theme song. Good one. So you're rejoining We the People Radio. You can find all of our information online, wethepeopleradio.us. And, all right, Mario, we have like a million questions here. Of course, we've waited till the last five minutes. We're bad. So we have someone in the chat room wanted to know, when you talk about the Hispanic vote, when you use that term, is that like first generation, second generation? Is that just everyone whose nationality tracks that way? What does that mean to you?
Sure. I mean, well, we want to reach anyone who self-identifies as Hispanic. And so that could be, that could be a recent immigrant. That could be a first-generation American. It could be someone whose family has been here for a couple hundred years. It really varies. But really it's self-identification, I think, is the easiest way to do that, because it's just, you know, if you see yourself as Hispanic or Latino, then of course, you know, we want to make sure that you're being spoken to, that the principles that you and I and the three of us here talking share are communicated to those folks.
Now, where does immigration fit in on this whole thing? Does it just throw a monkey wrench into the whole deal?
Wow, well, we've spent a long time today talking about the First Amendment thing, and we can spend 10 times as long.
I know. I know. Sorry.
That's why we didn't mention it.
I just wondered, you know, is it just better not to go there? Does that just derail?
Well, I mean, it is a tricky subject. I think that, a lot of people are tripped up by this. I think that, you know, from a policy level, I'll stick to this because I think it's an important basic thing for folks to understand is, obviously we have to have border security. I mean, that's just a no-brainer, okay? But if we want to actually solve this problem so that we're not talking about the illegal immigration problem in 5 years and 10 years, and, you know, if we want to solve this once and for all, what really we need to do is A, you know, border security, and B, fixing the legal immigration process. I think that those two things go hand in hand, because what a lot of folks don't understand is just how incredibly difficult and cumbersome it is to immigrate legally to the United States.
Right.
And I think that those are the things, and we've seen this before, actually. I mentioned about the lessons of history before. We had a guest worker program in the early 1960s. It was called the Bracero Program. And a lot of folks actually moved to California, there in the Central Valley and other, you know, agriculture-heavy areas, because of the Bracero Program. And so what happened was, one of the many interesting things that happened is that illegal apprehensions at the border dropped 90% because people had a way to avail themselves of, they had a legal, workable legal channel to come to the United States. And so when you have those, that it's workable, again, I don't think that we can necessarily replicate the sale program from top to bottom or anything like that, but just in terms of the power of this example is that when you have something like that that's workable, then you have a lot less illegal crossings. And the benefit in a modern day environment is that now your resources that you have on the border can focus on the really, really bad guys. The guys who
sure.
are smuggling
or criminal
for
the...
sexual trafficking. The people who are bringing drugs and weapons and God knows what else across the border. Then, you know, you have a lot more resources that are focused on those guys who everyone, you know, understands is just, you know, bad. There's just no way around it, right? Those are just bad people. Then you have other people who, yes, they've, you know, they've broken the law, but their motivations aren't to, like, come break the law and spit on America and do all these things. Their
right.
motivation is they want a better life. And, you know, we don't encourage anyone to break the law in pursuit of that better life. That's not what we want to see. But certainly we as a country can say, hey, you know, let's have a way, you know, to sort of keep the secret sauce that is part of the secret sauce that have made America so great, which is people come here from around the world and they're motivated to succeed. Right. And so when we can channel that you know, towards in a sort of a positive, constructive way, I think that that's when we as a country benefit.
Well, I think we've just been chock full of information. I think everyone's going to have to go home and take a nap now. We've learned
don't
all sorts.
To wake up.
We've learned all sorts
too
of stuff
going on.
Mario, we really appreciate your time today, and we celebrate with you the First Amendment victory against Kamala Harris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any victory
good
against
job.
Kamala Harris is a good one. She's a dope.
There we go. Thank you guys so much. Really enjoyed the time with you today.
It goes fast because we goof off a little bit. So that we've been interviewing Mario Lopez. Actually, he's just been telling us stuff. Not really interviewing him all that much. He is the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. You can find all that information and a bunch more stuff at wethepeopleradio.us. Thanks, Mario. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
And about 81 of those rail cars were empty. 13 of the cars derailed here in the District of Columbia.
Mayor Muriel Bowser crews are inspecting the tracks, which are used by CSX, Amtrak, and the MARC commuter rail system. CSX says that cars went off the tracks. One of them leaked sodium hydroxide, which can irritate and burn the skin and eyes. The company says non-hazardous ethanol and calcium chloride leaked from other cars. No injuries were reported. No evacuations were ordered. CIA Director John Brennan says a 28-page secret chapter from a congressional inquiry into 9/11 contains preliminary information about possible Saudi links to the attackers that had not been checked out at the time. Brennan tells NBC's Meet the